Are you interested in bringing communities together? Are you interested in bridging cultural and communication gaps? Are you interested in podcasting? We want to help build a better world through better understanding of one another. And we want to amplify your voice in the conversation. So bring your ideas and voice to the Venn Network. We will help you bring your voice to the world.
Two radicals came here to this country, were radicalized.
For that terror attack overseas. Total
and complete shutdown. Assalamu alaikum, ladies and gentlemen. Assalamu alaikum, boys and girls. Welcome to another mind-altering, mind-riveting episode of Raw Islam, the only podcast that shows you that yes, yes, Dorothy, there is more after Oz. And what I mean by that is that Islam does actually fit into modern culture. And I know that was a long stretch to go from the Wizard of Oz to that, but it really is a thing. And before I introduce tonight's host, I just like to show you all that are watching this on Facebook or YouTube or wherever you happen to see this, because normally I sit behind the mic and you don't see me, and I can tweet a photo out of this while when we get going. But I just, you guys have heard me talk about the Venn Network t-shirt and getting one for yourself so that, you know, you can help support the network, because part of the proceeds go to the network and part of the proceeds go to the host, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But check it out, guys.
What? Look at that. Oh.
Oh, nice, nice.
Isn't that beautiful? And with that, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the hardest working imam that I know, Imam Azhar.
Assalamu alaikum. Greetings to all our listeners tonight. We welcome you. And I think I cannot top what Carl just said. And again, t-shirt is epic and we want to make that go viral. And actually, for our Venn Network Raw Islam edition of t-shirts, if you have any suggestions or ideas on of what we can put on our Raw Islam t-shirt, Carl's got some amazing ideas, and they're very much borderline when it comes to pushing the what? Cultural mindset.
What but do you I'm mean borderline?
Borderline. So I'm up for that. Please shoot us an email, let us know. And so welcome again to another episode of Raw Islam, where we take the week's events when we don't talk about a specific topic, and we peel the onion of culture and the layers of culture and misconceptions and misunderstandings. We peel this onion until we get to the core. And when we get to the core, you find out there's nothing there. So that's exactly what we're doing. All that misconception, all that cultural nonsense that has to be peeled away. So Carl, you know, I want to make this episode one of the ones that we just summarize, because there's so much going on. And as Trevor Noah would say, ain't got enough time for that. That's how much news there is this week. We want to dive into guns, because it's a topic that never ends, and it's a topic that only continues to get aggressive as incidents occur in our country. And I think we have to agree on one thing, that there are two strong sides when it comes to guns, pros and cons. Those who are pro-gun, whenever an incident happens where guns can be questioned, they amplify their rhetoric and they clamp down and they make sure that they uphold the sanctity and the importance of guns, maybe through the Constitution, maybe through logic or otherwise. And then there are those who are cons, who are against anti-guns, that use certain incidents to highlight that guns are not needed in our society. Long story short, brothers and sisters, friends and listeners, we never get anywhere in these discussions. Rather, it just ends up becoming more complex for the American public. And I say that because this time around, the Parkland shooting, which we spoke about briefly last time, certain companies such as Delta took a stance against the NRA, only to be threatened by the lieutenant governor of Atlanta, or the mayor, sorry, that if they don't pull back on what they said, then Delta will lose all its tax benefits in the state of Georgia. Again, it just gets ugly. Those families who are survivors of the shooting and their parents are now being victimized with threats of being killed. It just goes to show that when we're very strong and we are opinionated, what happens is that that in its essence can be a source of our division. So, Carl, what I want to do is I'm not going to talk about pro-guns today, or I'm not going to talk against guns today. I want you and I to go back into history. How does that sound, Carl?
Those that do not learn from their history are doomed to repeat it. So let's rewind the tape and let's talk about the history of humanity.
So I'm going to take everyone to Epcot World in Walt Disney World here in Florida. When you go to Epcot, which is one of the four theme parks in Disney, you will enter the park and you will see in front of you a gigantic golf ball. And you would assume that this is a golf ball for the green giant to hit par and, hole in one basically with. But actually, it is a summary of humanity from the beginning of our existence and the trail of knowledge where we went from caveman era all the way to where we are today and how there is so much more to do. And what they do is during this ride, they allow you to be a part of suggesting where the future would go. So it's just a beautiful ride, which is one of my personal favorites, Carl. And we go back to caveman era. I want to go to the first sign of that ride, which talks about the cavemans and trying to defend themselves against other creatures and how they learned through their commonality of defending one another from the same threat that they started collaborating. So there's a caveman who's attacked by this elephant, not an elephant, but what you call those things, mammoths. And of course, he's scared. So maybe he got killed, but the next one he did, he kind of made a spear. And the next thing you know, two of them are standing together with the spear, recognizing that both of us are on the same page, that we need to defend ourselves and our kind from this mammoth. And so that led towards collaboration, that led towards communication, that led towards two distinct things, working towards protecting their lives and communication. So for protecting their lives, they had those they had those stone bats or batons or whatever you want to call that. They had their spears and whatever else they built from there. It was because they were living in a very vulnerable world where they couldn't identify the threats, and the threats were many. And hence the threats were so many that they needed to carry their spears at all time. And the second thing was they needed to communicate with each other. But what happened was when they would die, the next generation would be kind of dumbfounded as to where to start back again. So what they did was they started making PDFs, Carl. What was a PDF of a caveman? You want to tell me what a PDF of a caveman was? I know you're like, don't ask me that question.
I'm like, wait, what? A PDF? No, I know this is total sidetrack, but I was just reading the article that led to Paul Manafort's downfall was the trying to convert PDFs into Word documents. That's why I was like, wait, what? PDFs? Wow. Yes, cave drawing sketchings. That was a caveman's PDF.
So the caveman PDF was sketching and drawing and articulating through your so-called depictions, if not words. And of course, there was not many words at that time based on the caveman era story that they had to let people know, look, there's a mammoth, he's your enemy. Spears up, just watch out, so on and so forth. But Carl, as time progressed, three things happened, Carl. Should I tell you what those three things are, Carl?
Well, it'd be a very bad show if you didn't.
Number one is communication. They learned to talk to each other. Number two is collaboration. For the common good, they collaborated. And number three was civilization. Communication, collaboration, and civilization. That should be hashtag for our show when we launch it as a podcast. Communication, collaboration, and civilization. Civilization meant that they never pulled out their spear anytime they wanted to, when anyone approached them or anything approached them. They identified that a rabbit and maybe a goat was not a threat, whereas a mammoth and, a grizzly or a bear was a threat. Just throwing that out there. So that was part of civilization, which was distinction, understanding and ability to comprehend things for what they were. A sign of that was that they advanced in their weaponry, but their utilization of it was more precise. Number two was their clothing. Their clothing continued to grow and clothing continued to adore them, and they adorned in the clothing, and it became a sense of status and a symbol of their position in society. So that's caveman era. Moving forward, we're living in a time right now where we lack communication. There are so many of us and there's so many words, but we don't communicate with each other. Because of the lack of communication, it's practically impossible to collaborate with one another. Even if it's during a crisis like Katrina or after a hurricane in Puerto Rico that hits, I'm sure when people would see someone different than what they're accustomed to, there'll be that second glance. Do you agree with me, Carl, Matt?
Yeah, no, I, you are, as always, and this is my job here. Yes, you are correct. No,
I would love a candid conversation and for you to be frank. If it's not, then you let me know.
No, you're right. I was actually just going to say to Julie, thank you for tuning in and listening tonight. And yes, Julie, I knew he was going for cave drawings. I just didn't get that far because he caught me off guard with what a PDF and cavemen have in common. But yes, so, communication is key to everything.
So basically what happened was if we don't communicate, then we can't collaborate. So there was a Parkland shooting. Many Muslim organizations partook in helping and assisting and the healing process for the community at large, which will take years. It won't take just weeks or days. But in that, if you were to see a girl in a hijab or a man with a beard wearing an Islamic t-shirt, you would look twice, like, wait a second, what is that doing here? And I could tell you that firsthand through my experience at the Orlando shooting response is because I didn't fit in. My beard, my garment in Ramadan, my physical presence didn't fit in according to how people would see it. So that's a sign of lack of communication leads to resistance and collaboration. And when we cannot collaborate, our civilization is threatened. And so basically, when we talk about safety and we talk about guns, they are now intertwined because we feel it is only with guns we'll remain safe, and it's only our safety is assured through that presence of guns. But if you look at that, we're actually going back to caveman era, because with all that we've learned, with all the resources at hand, what we're trying to say is I perceive you, Carl, as a threat. Julie perceives me as a threat. I perceive her as a threat. It's a never-ending story. So now you're going to go on a train or a bus, or you're going to walk into a classroom, or you're going to walk into a restaurant. You don't know who has a gun, and you don't know the person who's intimidating you might have a gun. So you'll have to put down your guard because you fear your life, even though your rights are being violated. It's just a messy scenario. And maybe tomorrow, if we don't stop, someone's going to have to make a new PDF, maybe on the wall of Mexico, to let us know where we went wrong and how that needs to be figured out, how that needs to be corrected. So I want to talk about security in Islam. For those who are listening who are from the Muslim community, safety and security is a cornerstone of this faith. Did you know that, Carl?
Yes, I did.
So basically, the Prophet, peace be upon him, when they were establishing Yathrib into the city of Medina, one of the most important things was the virtues was given for a person who protected the Rabat. The Rabat was known as the boundaries, the fortress or the walls that surrounded the city. A person who stays awake at night and protects the wall to ensure that no harm is coming into the people as they sleep at night. A person who stands by the wall and protects the people during the day so no one is attacked in the light of day. The reward of that person is equivalent or more than a person who spends the whole night in prayer. So the virtue is given for what reason, Carl? If our religion's only about the mosque or how we appear, how we look, or what our names are, what is the significance of this in our religion? It goes to show that safety and security is essential if you want a community to live, to grow, and to live in peace. And for that peace is something, and that peace is something that religion also advocates for. It's something that religion drives. It's something religion promotes. And that's exactly what we see from Islam. So insecurity is not only a symbol of our falling in of our civilization falling, but it's also a symbol that our religious connection and our ability to be firm on our religion is also sliding by the wayside. So, you know, taking past to present, we're on the crossroads. I don't know if we're going to go forward or if we're going to go backward. Sometimes, you know, Carl, you just feel, you just feel like it's not worth it anymore. You know, I've been through this thing this week where I felt, you know what, just let it be now, because as much as you try to fight it, as much as you try to contest it, as much as you try to bring logic to it, it seems that logic is illogical, and what is not sane, insanity has become sanity. What is wrong has become right. What's right has become wrong. So, Carl, it's just a big mess. I don't know. What's your thoughts, Carl?
Well, actually, I'm going to head over to our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
And Julie made a few other comments that I want to respond to. One is, you are absolutely right, Julie, that we do have a increased capacity for communication, and we don't use it effectively. And even the increased capacity causes problems, because I can't tell you the number of times I sit around with my family and you go to talk and you look around the room and this is all you see, is just people sitting there. And yeah, I got an Under Armour case, but all you see is people on their phones. And, you know, honestly, Julie, I have always proposed when I was working on my master's, I always proposed the thesis, and I thought it would be interesting to study, that we should that we're actually going backwards as a society, because we used to use the hieroglyphics, we used to use the cave drawings, and now we're going all the way back to using emojis to communicate. So we're like digressing in our speech abilities. And the other thing that Julie brought up was, she says that although we all have the power to communicate, we give more weight to those that are in positions of power rather than equal to us. So people tend to wait for those people, for those other people that are in positions of power, to act rather than acting themselves.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, thank you for that, Julie. So, and for those of you that are just joining us for the first time tonight, we do actually moderate these comments, and we do listen to them, and we share them. Obviously, I'm reading them live online now. So yeah, but communication is key. And, you know, I know you didn't want to get into the whole gun thing tonight,
mm-hmm.
but in all honesty, when you talk about communication and you talk about these hieroglyphics and communicating, and you talk about going into the restaurant and I have a gun and maybe that guy has a gun and who does that person have a gun? And they talk about that concept of the only person that can stop a good guy or a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. It comes down to arming our teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not okay with that.
Uh-huh.
It really, that's not okay, because at no point, as a parent with children in school, at no point should I have to sit here and worry that one of my children may get shot by their teacher.
Uh-huh.
I get worried enough just because there's enough people with issues in the universe.
Uh-huh.
But I shouldn't have to worry about a teacher accidentally shooting my children as well. So uh-huh. there has to be a better answer, and there has to be a better way to communicate.
An ATF officer was actually demonstrating guns to this class, and he actually shot himself with a gun while he was demonstrating in the classroom. But he continued his presentation because he felt scared that the kids would get scared also. But he shot himself in the leg or in the foot. That being said, you know, humanity is on the crossroads of one very simple thing, Carl. It's that, do we have guts to confront our fears, or are we coward enough just to, you know, do what we can to make them go away? You know, if you're having a nightmare, can you fight your way through that nightmare, or are you just going to look for the door that will wake you up and run from it? So some of us in this country do truly feel that their gun rights are being violated, their second, the constitutional amendment is being violated, and hence it's a nightmare. And some who saw a school as a safe zone and a McDonald's as a safe zone and a park as a safe zone and a cinema hall as a safe zone and a place of worship as a safe zone never fathomed the thought or the idea that tomorrow guns would have to be in there. So they too are living their nightmare. The question is, are we going to have guts to get on the table and really discuss what our goal is? Because at the end of the day, the people who want their guns and the people who don't want guns, I promise you, want the same thing. They want safety. They want assurance. They want goodness. And so I feel that most of our society is running toward cowardliness. And I say that because, Carl, tomorrow night I'm jumping on a flight to go to Idaho, a state where for 3 consecutive years, the Sharia ban has been proposed, just as it was proposed here in Florida. And it's sad to say that in such a small state, in such a small city, you know, such rhetoric is inciting fear in the people. And for a person who doesn't know anything, they're going to wake up and read newspaper. Oh my God, Sharia's coming here between the mountains. Is this going to be another Tora Bora? Is Osama bin Laden hiding up in those mountains? Or is Abu Bakr Baghdadi going to parachute down from there with a sermon and a Rolex watch? Like, we don't know what the heck is going on. So truth be told, this is called cowardliness. If you don't understand something, incite fear. So everyone just becomes loud hyenas, and ultimately people just run away. We want to have guts to sit down with each other because we're not cavemen. We've been through that whole era, and I think knowledge has enriched us enough with its words and its text that we can do something. So basically, what I feel is that as Florida, Tallahassee is not passing a ban on assault rifles, but they are putting forth a motion to arm every teacher in the classroom with a gun. I think it's about time that we have a conversation, not shout out each other, not disrespect each other, but to have a candid conversation to see what our goals are and how we can accomplish it together. So Carl, that's I think a summarization of, you know, guns and the past to the present, safety and security, communication, collaboration and civilization. We spoke about Idaho, and inshallah, God willing, I'll be keeping everyone posted next Tuesday as to what the outcome is from my visit to Idaho. Till then, I just want to leave everyone with a verse of the Quran, and that is "Man amila salihan fali nafsi, wa man asa'a fa 'alayha." As Muslims, we don't believe in karma; we do believe in fate. Fate is something that is predestined, but that too can be changed through supplication and prayer to God. And the best way to summarize this, Carl, is this verse of the Quran, which God says, which Allah says, whoever does good deeds, they're doing it for themselves. So we're not doing anyone a favor when we try to stand up for goodness. We're actually doing it for ourselves, because the first person to benefit from goodness will be yourselves, and then your family, and then your community, and those around you, and those that will trickle from there. It's a trickle-down effect. But if you do something wrong, the world is not going to suffer from it. You're going to be the one. وَمَنْ أَسَاءَ فَعَلَيْهَا. Whoever does wrong, it comes on them first. So I think what I'm trying to say by this is we as a Muslim community have a lot of good that we need to start doing again for the sake of ourselves, before it can have an impact on our community. And we have to realize the detrimental effect that evils have on ourselves. So I call on everyone tonight from the Muslim community and even from the non-Muslim community, make a commitment to yourself tonight that you're going to start doing one thing good that you haven't done till tonight, or you used to do in the past and you stopped doing it for a long while. And also make a similar commitment, the one wrong thing that you've been doing recently, you're going to discard that wrong, because it's only going to plague you and no one else. If we could change the tides, and we'll see that Allah will do what He does, Carl, because in Islam's history, in a nutshell, Muslims never did anything. The Christians never did anything. The Jews never did anything. Whatever was done through the mercy and direction of God Himself. So we have to realize we are not the one that make things happen. God is the one that makes things happen. So if we want harmony, maybe with guns or without guns, if we want civility, and if we want communication, and if we want collaboration, maybe with my presence or without my presence, then we have to take the initial step, is which we always talk about. So in a nutshell, today we talked about a lot of things that happened the last week, kind of put it in context with past, present. The future is in your hand. And I'm confident that inshallah, if we take these weekly reminders to heart and we contemplate, then I'm sure something great will evolve from this and our world will truly be changed for the better.
And if you are watching this on, or if you're not watching this on Facebook or YouTube, you can definitely join us on Facebook on Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock because I'm about to run through some more comments. Yay! So Ariana commented and she said that teachers struggle with anger just as much as any human. And you're absolutely right, Ariana. And that is exactly what I was saying about why arming teachers is a completely bad idea. Julie also said that giving everyone guns to combat gun problems in this country is like putting a Band-Aid on a gaping wound. The Band-Aid is temporary and flimsy solution, and it doesn't attack the source of the problem. Eventually, the Band-Aid will fall off, and the wounded person will die. So fix the issue before it's too late. Julie also said that... in response to what you were saying about karma, she was saying that no man is responsible for the sins of those that came before him. Each man benefits first from the good ones that they do. And the reason I read these comments, just in case anybody doesn't know, is because there's also an audio version of this that you can get on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and everywhere except Google Play, just because that's the only one that Imam Azhar listens to. So we're going to ignore that platform completely.
Hey, Google Play. We need Google Play. Android lovers, please tell Carl. We love Android. Thank you.
I'm teasing. We are in the Google Play Store. And before we wrap up, just one more time, ladies and gentlemen, check us out on Twitter because I will be posting a photo of this shortly. But here it is. You can go to vennetwork.org and click on the link and you can get your own official Venn Network t-shirt just like this. Woo, look at that. Yeah, very cool. I'm showing my fat stomach to everybody online. So that's my gold star for the day. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us this evening. Thank you for all your comments. Thank you for watching. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for all the likes. It was really nice tonight to see all the likes and the hearts and the little laughing faces, although I think some of those came from Imam Azhar because he was making fun of me. But with that, ladies and gentlemen, we have reached the end of another episode. And until next week, we will say, Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
First of all, we should develop detention centers for them.
Everywhere there is Islam, you'll find women oppressed.
This has been a production of the Venn Network.